Adihi om. Sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahaviryan karavavahai. Tejasvinavati tamastuma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Om jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now we have Vyasadeva has visited the Pandavas, and he's been instructing them in good character and that about the importance of austerity, charity, and all these different things. And now Yudhishthira asks him, which is better, asceticism or charity? Which produces the better result, which is more difficult to perform. Vyasadeva replied, O child, there is nothing more difficult to practice than charity. Men thirst for wealth and obtain it only after great effort. Risking their lives, they enter the depths of the sea and the forest in their search for wealth. There is nothing they will not do to become rich. Therefore, it is extremely difficult to part with hard-earned wealth. But, O hero, properly earned wealth should be given away with an open heart to worthy persons. Ill-begotten wealth, however, even if given away, will not free its owner from the degradation in the next life. Right, so technically Duryodhana's wealth and all that, even that's given in charity, is not going to do well for him. You know, so whatever he got from the Pandavas, he gives that in charity, it won't get rid of the sin of what he did. But that wealth that came when those kings, when they brought their tribute and all that to do a sacrifice, and he gives that to the Brahmins, that will be all right. But that's still not going to here. So Karna, unless it's coming from properly received things, then it may not free him. He'll get benefits from giving in charity, but it won't free him from, he won't purify him. See, charity should purify you and give benefit, but here he may get benefits, but he won't get purified. So of an impure heart, you still get those benefits, you'll use them badly. Like Duryodhana has so much wealth, but he uses it badly. His attitude, so therefore that would simply degrade him. It'll simply create pride. Yudhishthira asked Vyasadeva to speak more about the benefits of giving charity. The sage told him an old history. There had been a poor man named Mudgala, who had attained the supreme spiritual abode simply by his practice of giving charity, Brahmins. The Pandavas were fascinated. Finally, the sage said, O son of Kunti, do not grieve. Happiness and distress revolve around a man, one after the other, as if on a wheel. You will surely recover your father's kingdom at the end of your exile. By your asceticism and charity, you will attain all auspiciousness. Be at peace, I am going. The Pandavas offered their obeisances to the Rishi. As the Rishi rose to leave, they felt comforted by his words, right? So he may be worried that Karna is giving so much in charity, but Yudhishthira has already given way more than that before. So their volume of charity, and also you see here, is they work, they collect things, they, Draupadi makes things, and then they feed all those Brahmins every day. So every day he's giving charity, even though it may not be compared to what he would have given. Because that was the anxiety, that he was losing the kingdom, wouldn't be the emperor, and these things, this wasn't the problem for him. The problem was, is all that wealth was for taking care of the Brahmins. That's why. And then Duryodhana, you'll see, he's not going to use it for that. He's going to use it for his political purposes. You know, to create stronger allies and these kind of things. And if he thinks that, okay, giving in charity to Brahmins will assist that, then he'll do it. Duryodhana thought constantly of ways by which he might harm the Pandavas. He consulted with his brothers in Karna, trying to devise a means to overcome the brothers before they returned from the forest. While he was considering different plans, the ascetic Durvasa happened to visit the city. He had with him 10,000 disciples, and he came to the royal palace asking for food for all of them. The sage was famous for his anger. If he were not served properly, he would quickly curse the offender. He would also test his hosts to the limits of their patience, wanting to see if they adhered to their religious obligations under all circumstances. Right? So he was a very, very tough, you know, kind of like, you could say, teacher. But if you passed, you got very nice boons. But if you didn't, things didn't work out very well. Fearing that some incompetent servant would bring his curse upon him, Duryodhana served Durvasa personally, like we see Kunti personally served. Or the Pandavas, then Draupadi personally. They personally took care of this. With all the humility and gentleness he could muster, he carefully ministered to the sage's every request, acting just like a menial servant. Durvasa was unpredictable. Sometimes he would demand that a meal be prepared immediately, but when it was fetched, he would go away to bathe. He would then return after a long time and say, "I will not eat now. I'm no longer hungry." He would rise at midnight and call for food and other attentions, often criticizing the food and service he received. Duryodhana served him without complaint and remained attentive to the rishi's every wish. Durvasa was pleased with the prince. Just before leaving, he said, "You have served me well. I will grant you a boon. Ask from me whatever you desire. If it is not opposed to religion, I will satisfy you at once." Right? Because in giving boons, when he says, ask for anything, it can't be something that's against religion or against something he can do, or that will put him in a bad situation or make him a slave or things like that. So you can't ask boons that will be unbeneficial, you know, like that. So there's, you know, sometimes people say, no, but you ask it, you have to give it. No, it has to be within the context. Duryodhana felt as if he had received new life. He had already conferred with his counselors as to what boon he should request if Durvasa would ask him. Thus he replied, "O Brahmana, just as you have been my guest, so you become the guest of Yudhishthira in the forest. He is accomplished and well-behaved. He is a great king, the best and eldest of our family. He therefore deserves to receive your blessings. You should go to him with his entire family. When his entire family has finished eating and you are preparing to rest, you will then be well received by those pious men." So he wants them to go because he knows that you know, then there's a problem. It's because if you go while at the regular lunchtime, he can feed unlimited people. But he knows that afterwards, then once she's eaten and all that, and now it's, you know, time for retiring in the evening, then the plate won't fill again till the next day. And so then he's saying that's the time to go, because otherwise they can't take care. And then he's thinking then they will get not please him, they'll become cursed. And then in this way, then, you know, the problem, he's just like he said before, which they can harm the Pandavas. In some way, just bother them like that. He can't just leave it alone. They're out in the forest already. No, he has to add insult to injury. Durvasa replied, "I will do as you ask." He then left with his disciples, heading for the Kamika. Duryodhana punched the air in joy. The Pandavas would never be able to receive Durvasa and as many disciples properly after Draupadi had eaten. They would have no way to feed 10,000 Brahmins without the magic plate they had received from Surya. Surely Durvasa would curse them, and a rishi's curse could never fail. Duryodhana ran to his friends. "Our plan has succeeded," he cried. "The Pandavas are doomed." He embraced Karna, who said, "By good fortune, you have fared well and fulfilled your desire. By good fortune, your enemies are cast in an ocean of misery, difficult to cross. Through their own fault, they now face great danger." Right? Their own fault means they haven't done any fault, but they always have to put in, "Well, you gambled, you know, you did this." You know, it's the very common demoniac mentality that, well, let's say I do something to you, put you in a situation and say, you either do this or that, and if you do this, this bad thing will happen. You know, like that. And then if it's going to happen, then they'll say it's your fault. You did it. But they're creating the rules. They can never see their own fault. That's one of the demoniac mentality. They can't see their own fault. Some days later, Durvasa arrived at the Pandava camp just after Draupadi had eaten. Leaving his disciples in the outskirts of the camp, he walked in alone and appeared before the brothers. They all immediately stood with joined palms. Seeing the famous rishi standing before him, they fell to the ground in respectful obeisance. Yudhishthira offered Durvasa an excellent seat and worshipped him with all attention. Durvasa then said, "I am here with my 10,000 disciples, and we want to eat. We have been walking all day and are hungry. O king, please arrange for our food. We shall first take our bath and then return for the meal." Yudhishthira said, "So be it." And Durvasa left for the river with his disciples. After he had gone, Yudhishthira expressed his alarm. How could he possibly feed that many people? Draupadi had already eaten, and the mystic plate would not yield more until morning. Yudhishthira asked his wife if she could do anything. Draupadi, who always thought of her husband's welfare, began to contemplate the problem. Her only hope was prayer. The princess thought of Krishna and prayed, "O Krishna, Lord of the universe, destroyer of your devotees' difficulties, unlimited and all-powerful one, please hear my prayer. You are the refuge of the helpless, the giver of the endless boons of all beings, or giver of endless boons, the unknowable and all-knowing Supreme Person. Kindly protect me. I seek your shelter. O Lord, as you formerly saved me from Dushasana in the assembly, so please save me now from this difficulty." Krishna was in his palace at the time, lying on his bed with Rukmini. That mysterious person, whose movements are unknown to all, heard Draupadi's prayers. He immediately rose from his bed and, leaving his wife, ran from the palace. Within a few moments, he was standing before Draupadi, who fell at his feet with tears in her eyes. Right, so Krishna is then, you see, he is the Supreme Lord, he can do anything, but performing human pastimes, he does things as humans would do. Means you've heard the call, then you immediately leave, and then you'll go there quickly. Just that you will see him get up, leave, and leave the palace, and then after that, how he gets to where they are in a moment. That's his mystic power. Just like he lives with his queens, but by his mystic power, he's living with 16,108 by their own individual palaces. Like this, so you'll always see is there'll be that combination of wonderful things. Like when it's raining, you put up an umbrella. Just Krishna put up Govardhan Hill and held it up with his little finger. But it's still the solution is a human solution. Just that with being who he is, it always comes out in some amazing way. Draupadi fell at his feet with tears in her eyes. "O Krishna, we face a great danger from Durvasa's curse. What can be done?" Krishna smiled. "I will do whatever can be done, but I too am hungry. Please feed me first, and after that I shall do whatever is required." "Ashamed," Draupadi replied, "my lord, the vessel given by the sun remains full until I have eaten. I recently took my meal, and now it will not give more food." "This is no time for joking," said Krishna. "Quickly fetch the vessel and show me." Draupadi bought the dish before Krishna, and he examined it closely. In one corner, he found a particle of rice and vegetables stuck together, and he ate it at once, saying, "May Lord Hari, the soul of the universe, be satisfied with this food, and may the Lord of all sacrifice be pleased." Krishna then turned to Sahadeva and said, "Go quickly and bring the ascetics here and feed them." The Pandavas looked around fearfully. There was no sign of food, but they had faith that Krishna would not let them down. Sahadev left for the river to find Durvasa and his disciples, right? Because now by him, they've called, so when he comes back, okay, now they're expecting a meal. But if he goes down and say, "Yeah, come quickly, everything's ready for you." You know, because they'll go down and bathe, they can spend a little extra time and doing this and that, or, you know. So he goes down to tell them, "Oh, come quickly, everything's ready for you, you please," you know, like that. So that'll put the pressure now on them, because they've been invited now, and they're not coming. At the river, the innocent Durvasa was expecting Yudhishthira to have prepared a meal for him and all his followers. He doesn't know Duryodhana's plan. But suddenly he has felt as if he had consumed a huge feast. Not even just, okay, he had a little bit, he's feeling okay, he doesn't want to eat more, but if he had to, he could. You know, like that. But no, a huge feast. Like means he couldn't, you know, even look at anything, let alone even eat another grain of rice, right? He looked at his disciples. They too appeared full and were rubbing their stomachs and belching. Looking at each other, the ascetic realized that none of them felt like eating at all. Durvasa said to his disciples, "We have uselessly made Yudhishthira prepare a meal for 10,000 men and done him a great wrong. Will not the Pandavas destroy us by looking upon us with angry eyes?" Because they know that they're also great devotees of the Lord. "O Brahmins, I know Yudhishthira to be possessed of great powers. He is devoted to the feet of Lord Hari, and I fear such men," right? Because he's not technically known as a devotee like that. He's a great sage, he's, you know, a great ascetic, great yogi, like this. So all the material qualifications he has in great volumes, but devotion, that's not what he's known for. See, so he already knows, because, you know, that pastime with Ambarish, don't mess with the Vaishnavas, you know, don't insult the Vaishnavas. They can consume us with their anger as fire can consume a bale of cotton, right? Cotton easily burns, right? A bale, especially, it's loose, right? Let us therefore depart quickly from this place before they see us again. Although he was a powerful mystic yogi, Durvasa knew that his power was nothing compared to that of those devoted to the Supreme Lord, who always acted swiftly to protect his devotees. He recalled a previous incident when he had upset another devotee of the Lord. At that time, he had been placed in great difficulty and had almost lost his life, right, with Sudarshan chasing him. Without another word, Durvasa came out of the river and walked swiftly away from the Pandava's camp. His disciples flew away in all directions, keeping well clear of the Pandavas, right? Because they may 10,000, they may spread out, but they won't walk across. They'll all go in waves to make sure that they don't go near the camp. You know, it's like if they're on this side and they're on this side, they'll walk around and then meet. You know, they're not going to get close. When Sahadeva arrived at the river, he found no one there. A few water pots and pieces of cloth were lying around, but there was no sign of the ascetics, right? So this happened even before he got there, right? Because otherwise, if he's there and he asked them, then he'll disappoint him. So he's feeling full. We can't go. So they left quickly. He searched around and came across other Brahmins who had informed that Durvasa and his followers had left suddenly. Sahadeva went back to his brothers and gave them his report. Yudhishthira was worried. The ascetics will come back in the dead of night and demand their meal. He said fearfully, how can we escape from this great danger created by destiny? Because you know, everybody knows how, like, he comes in the middle of the night or something. Because like you said before, you prepare the meal, then he goes for a bath, then he says, I'm not hungry, then he comes at midnight and says, where's the food? Like that. Krishna smiled, Yudhishthira, you need not fear. Durvasa and his disciples have fled, afraid of your ascetic power.